and join in the prayer for understanding of God's word. Living God, help us to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Our gospel reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 36. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, the whole earth was dark. At 3, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you left me?" After hearing him, some standing there said, "Look, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a pole. He offered it to Jesus to drink, saying, "Let's see if Elijah will come to take him down." The word of God for the people of God.
Christian comedian and singer Mark Lowry tells of a time when he was a little boy and his mother took him and his older brother to the movies. They went to see the film King of Kings, the biblical epic of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Mark said that as a small boy, he was completely enthralled as the Bible literally came to life in front of him on the big silver screen. He saw Jesus walk on water, heal the sick and raise the dead, and feed the 5,000. He couldn't take his eyes off it all. For to him, it was as if he was looking back in time and was actually seeing Jesus' life and ministry unfold before his eyes. He was thrilled and amazed. But then Jesus was arrested and beaten and nailed to a cross. And when that happened, Mark said he stood up on his seat and yelled, "No, stop it, no." At this point, his big brother pulled him back down and said, "Shut up, Mark, or we'll all go to hell." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing in our Lenten series on the seven last words of Christ. As we read the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, we discover that Luke and John each provide us three of the last words. And then Matthew and Mark record just one, the one for today. Now, there's no contradiction here. Each writer, remember, is writing to a particular audience and has a particular purpose in mind as they write their gospel. John depicts the cross of Christ as glory. The Son of God, through the cross, is glorifying the Father who will raise him from the dead. In John's gospel, the cross is a sign of divine power. In Luke reveals Jesus' solidarity with the oppressed. His mission, as revealed in Luke chapter 4, was to give sight to the blind, release to the captives, and to set the oppressed free. And Jesus does this throughout his ministry, even in the last moments of his life, as he turns to the criminal on his right and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Matthew and Mark, in their gospels, particularly in Matthew, we see a messianic fulfillment of the suffering servant that is found in the prophecies of Isaiah. They record this one word because it's all they needed to record for their purposes. The word this morning comes to us in the form of a prayer. It is the second of three prayers Jesus offers on the cross, sandwiched between, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and into your hands I commend my spirit." The word for this morning is arguably the most troubling and haunting of the words that Jesus speaks. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is now the ninth hour, 3 o'clock p.m., 6 hours since the nails were driven. Death is imminent. At the sixth hour, noon, we are told that darkness comes over the land. It's not an eclipse, but a divine action, echoes of the plague of darkness in Egypt, an event that is commemorated at the Passover, which had happened just the day before the crucifixion, and it is also a fulfillment of prophecy. Amos 8:9 says, "In that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." In that day is a reference to when God will vindicate his claim of being Lord over heaven and over the earth. It is a darkness indicative of divine action, but it also speaks to the spiritual condition of the people. The darkness is palpable and lingers for 3 hours. So for 6 hours, Jesus has endured unimaginable physical pain. He's endured mocking and spitting, the cheering and jeering of the onlookers who will just not let him die in peace. And yet all this seems bearable, and suddenly, in the darkness, in a loud voice, Jesus speaks. It's not a muted cry. The Greek word here means to call out or shout out. It was a word used for ecstatic cries of joy and also cries of anguish. In the Gospels, the word is used by those pleading for Jesus to heal them. It is also the word used to describe the voice of John the Baptist as he declared in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Jesus' cry is a mixture of Hebrew and Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" The crowd misconstrues his plea. They believe that he is crying out to Elijah the prophet, because it was a popular Jewish belief of the day that Elijah would come in times of need to protect the innocent and rescue the righteous. And the crowd continues their mockery, "Let's see if Elijah comes." But Jesus' fourth word is not a plea to a long ago departed prophet. It is a word known as the cry of dereliction, like a derelict ship that is without crew and cargo, abandoned and set adrift. It is a cry of abandonment, because forsaken means abandoned, deserted, disowned. And so as we consider this word from the cross, let's start there. Let's start with that all too familiar human feeling of being abandoned. It's not the first time these words are uttered. They come to us first from the pen of King David, found in Psalm 22, the first reading this morning. The psalm has messianic overtones. For instance, verses 15 to 18 read this: "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." It sounds familiar. But before we jump immediately to our Christian perspective, we must not belittle David's own experience, because these are his words and his experience. As one reads 2 Samuel and 1 Kings, we see David is tormented by enemies from all fronts, at home and abroad. David yearned for God's deliverance, which is slow to come, and so he writes, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And there are times in our lives that we understand David's pain. At one time and another in our lives, we have experienced that feeling of abandonment. It might have been a parent, a schoolyard friend, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who dumps us for someone else, a spouse who announces they want a divorce, the fiancé who fails to show up at the altar, a child who is too busy to stay in touch. By God, in the midst of life's struggle, feeling forsaken, abandoned, hurts to the core. and Jesus understands. We see today the human side of Jesus, the side we often downplay, the side that feels pain and the pain of abandonment. We know Jesus has already felt the pangs of abandonment when he is rejected by his hometown friends, the disbelief of his own half-brothers, and the disciples who have turned tail and run, and now the Father. Now, I acknowledge in the light of our Trinitarian theology, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, it's hard to conceive of Jesus feeling abandonment. Yet we also hold to the belief that Jesus is both human and divine, the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus is human, and thus, like us, feels abandonment. And this had to be the worst pain he experienced. Because unlike us, Jesus enjoyed an intimate relationship with the Father that was unrivaled, because he and the Father are one. Jesus regularly went away to pray, to take time with the Father. And now he is surrounded by this physical darkness, but he also experiences emotional and spiritual darkness as he cries out, "My God, my God." His cry of despair gives us permission to feel our own despair and to cry out at times, my God, why?" This is not a cry of disbelief or doubt, not at all. Jesus is not crying out against God. He's crying out to God, not once, but twice. And not only that, it won't be long before Jesus will speak again. Through the pangs of abandonment, he will say, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus' faith does not waver. And he shows us it is okay to feel what we feel and to give it voice. I appreciate this aspect of Jesus. This Jesus who identifies with my temptations, who identifies with my struggle, who identifies with my pain, and offers me a model of faith and obedience that I can cling to. But we can't stop there with Jesus, because Jesus is more than a good teacher and role model. As such, this word from the cross is more than a feeling of abandonment. Remember Mark Lowry's response to seeing the movie, seeing how Jesus was arrested, beaten, and nailed to the cross and yelled, "No, stop, stop, stop." But his brother pulls him down and says, "Shut up, Mark, or we'll all go to hell." Mark's brother understood the meaning of the cross. Jesus not only felt abandoned, Jesus was literally, physically abandoned by God. Remember, Matthew and Mark are speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, the suffering servant. Reading from Isaiah 53, "But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We love that feel-good aspects of our faith, of God's mercy and love. But friends, God does love us, and God's mercies are new every morning. But God is a holy God, and God hates sin. Throughout Scripture, God's wrath, divine justice, is meted out as punishment for sin. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death." And we see this played out through the biblical narrative. Death is literal at times, as we see in the story of the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah, but it is most often spiritual. It involves separation from God, being driven out. Adam and Eve had enjoyed perfect fellowship with God until they sinned and God drove them out of the garden. Cain murdered Abel and is driven to a faraway land. Judah is defeated, and they are driven from the land and held in exile in Babylon. And in the book of Revelation, we see this wonderful picture of a new Jerusalem where evildoers are not allowed entry. They are cast out. When we speak of hell, we often think of fire and brimstone. But at its most basic level, hell is separation from God. God's holiness cannot tolerate sin. Sin must meet with God's justice. But God is also merciful. And so God provides a means of forgiveness and restoration. In the days past, at Sinai, God gave the law, but he also gave a system to address violations of the law. Priests would offer sacrifices in gratitude for God's provision, but also as an act of atonement for sin, individual and communal. As the centuries passed, it was clear the weight of the law was too great. No one could follow it exactly. And so in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Paul wrote in the second letter to the Corinthians, "For our sake God made him, that is Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God." On the cross, Jesus bore the full weight of human sin, yours and mine. He became sin. And in that moment, the Father, who cannot tolerate nor look upon sin, literally turned away. In that moment, Jesus was literally and physically separated from God. He suffered the pain of hell, that is separation, so that we might enjoy heaven forever with the Lord. Jesus endured darkness that we might walk in the light. He drank from the cup of God's wrath that we might drink from the cup of God's joy. He was forsaken that we might be forgiven. And Jesus spoke this fourth word from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we would never utter them. Yes, there are times we might feel abandoned by God. But the truth is, because of the cross, we who believe can hold fast to this truth. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.